Fall walk along the creek. Sometimes I think hunters use hunting as an excuse to get into the fields and woods. If they said, "I think I'll spend day after day out of doors," many of their friends and family members would wonder exactly what goes on in those woods or fields. They might jump to incorrect conclusions just because they don't understand how time in nature renews a soul. The day after opening a pheasant season reminded me of this. At our house, that weekend promised grueling work days for my husband. He left early in the morning and didn't show up again until after dark. The girls and I enjoyed hunting pheasants, but as rank amateurs, we needed someone with experience to join us. Because our resident expert was otherwise occupied, we entertained ourselves. This particular opening day had beautiful skies, wonderful temperatures, and just enough breeze to dry sweat, but not enough to create problems. Now, a die-hard pheasant hunter would have prayed for a light skiff of snow and chilly temperatures to cause the birds to bunch, but since I was not a die-hard pheasant hunter, I considered the day perfect. Not wanting to intrude on someone's serious hunt, we followed the banks of Big Creek as it meandered away from our house. Though it had reached flood stage that August, it was still flowing gently toward the Smoky Hill. Signs of high water clung to trees and shrubs on either side of the bank. I'd seen it raging and foaming after August's heavy rain, and it was interesting to see what the waters had left behind when they receded. Denuded limbs and branches, bark stripped away by torrents, rested high in forks of larger trees. Their paleness stood out on such a bright day. It reminded me of the first warm day of spring when folks shucked their winter duds for shorts and bathing suits at the lake to show off catfish belly-colored flesh. Tendrils of grass and other plant matter twined in and out of the marooned limbs and log jams, looking like an insane tailor had made a bad attempt at mending. Because it hadn't rained for a while, the creek sparkled, revealing an underwater world I didn't often see. The moving current had shifted light-colored sands at the creek's bottom until they looked like dunes in the Mojave, Oklahoma, or eastern Colorado. Upon further reflection, I decided they looked more like the layered hills bordering both the Smoky Hill and Saline Rivers. Moving slowly in the current, trailing tree roots assumed a life of their own. These thick and thin, short and long tendrils threaded their way along the sandy bottom, sucking nutrients from the water and anchoring trees to earth as surely as any darn holds a patch to an old pair of breeches. On the opposite creek bank, where it had washed away in the last high water, I saw the lattice work of root stitchery holding trees and bushes on that side in place. In a few locations, the cottonwoods and hackberries held on by only a root or two. The interlacing system that I could not see added amazing strength to the few I could. I felt like I had peeled back a layer of membrane to see the inner workings of an underground world. Surprising white sand beaches and little islands punctuated my creek, making it look like a tropical paradise. I enjoyed these spots where I could listen to slow-moving water, birds, and the rustling of fallen leaves and dried grasses. A few hardy crickets played a tune or two to enhance the autumn mood. With sun warming skin, the hypnotic movement of water, and plant fiber swaying in it, I could have melted into the sand and stayed in that spot forever. All my concerns eased. My pulse slowed. My blood pressure dropped. I know why hunters head for the fields every chance they get. They enjoy the hunt, but I suspect they enjoy even more those moments when everything comes together in one place, where for just a moment, nothing else in the world exists. Humans and nature merge, and in that instant, unexplainable peace occurs. Sanctuary is not always found indoors. Hunter or hiker, head for prairies and woods. You won't be sorry. Until next time, this is Karen living the good life on the High Plains.